You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, make some money with all that junk piled up at your house. Don't waste your movie dollar until you hear from our reviewer. And a woman sues a sperm bank because she's a racist? We think. Let's meet the friends. Aaron Myers has the day off, so it's likely to get a little manly in here. And further to that point, here with a nod to the old school, it's Jay Campidonia.
A group in San Francisco will be holding several sporting events this weekend, and they are going, I'm talking real old school.
And wearing his diploma on his sleeve, Chris Martin is here.
Students of a local California university will be putting their education on display for the world to see tomorrow, and I'll have the details coming up.
All right, we have co-eds, we have athletes, we have the friends, and we have you. And again, we thank you for tuning in to the program. It seems like a week since we've done this. I don't know why. But Jay, we'll start with you today, and we're talking about a big, it's almost Olympic-size event up in San Francisco, right?
It's a celebration, Phil, if you will. They're calling it the Nude Olympics.
Oh.
Okay, and actually they're supporting a group in Malaysia for being arrested after they were arrested during their Malaysia Nudist Sport Games 2014.
All right.
Okay, so a bunch of people in Malaysia and Singapore, India, the Philippines, they all get together. And it's an ode to the Greek-style Olympics when they first started the Olympics and they all did it nude. Well, some people in San Francisco said they're getting together at a nude beach out there, and they are going to be going through some of the old school sporting events. You ready?
Yeah, what are they? Because I want to know if there's a difference between sports and nude sports.
Yeah, I know, right? Sumo wrestling.
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
Is that not gross?
Yeah, well, they're practically naked when they're big and fat and almost naked when they're doing sumo, right?
But now you got bits flying all over the place.
Bits.
I'm not into it. Javelin throwing, because that's always sexy when you're naked.
Mm-hmm.
And a 50-meter, I have no idea what this is, a crab walk.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, the crab walk. That's where you get on your back, if you would imagine yourself laying on your back, and then you support yourself upright on your feet on your arms, and you walk with your belly facing the sky.
What's coming at you first, then, if you're standing at the finish line?
Yeah, how do you look away? That's the question. It's like,
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, it arouses curiosity, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess the people in Malaysia actually were sentenced to 6 months in prison.
What?
There was also a guy who was videotaping the Malaysia Nudist Sport Games 2014, and he got 6 months for distribution of pornographic material.
Was he distributing pornographic material?
I guess with the intent to.
Oh.
So, yeah, if you're in Malaysia, do not participate in the Nudist sport games, evidently.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to watch, but it sounds to me like this thing in San Francisco is television ratings gold.
Yes.
Can get it aired somewhere.
Yeah, right? Pay-per-view.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about it. It's a nudist colony. Nobody hot is going to a nudist colony, right?
That's generally the rule, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I have a buddy of a buddy who frequents these places, and he goes, look, dude, it's not about the 50 or 100 people that are gross. It's about the one hot one.
Yeah.
There's always, like, the one in the bunch. But that's, you know, few and far between. And to be honest, I don't want to have to work that hard. There's Google.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. True. Exactly. There's all kinds of things. Exactly. I mean, it's like nudity is just a – it's like 10 – not even 10 seconds.
So yeah.
It's a second away.
Exactly.
If you've got all the bookmarks set up properly. All right. Well, let's get out of the nude thing. And do you have any animal news for us, Jay?
I do. I actually have two stories. Now, okay, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm going to step out of the, reporter mode, if you will, and I actually laughed at this story, and I feel bad about it. I feel bad, and it involves nearly 1,000 chickens at a Foster Farms plant in Northern California.
Oh.
I sort of laughed at it.
Oh, you feel bad, but you sort of laughed. Okay.
Exactly.
Fine.
Four teenagers were arrested, an 18-year-old, 17, and two 15-year-olds. This is Northern California Foster Farms plant. Evidently, they pulled back a fence and broke into the plant.
Uh-oh.
And they were armed with golf clubs.
Yeah.
and they killed nearly 1,000 chickens.
And you laughed at that?
I mean, can you imagine that, though?
Well,
like,
I mean,
four kids, like
in a cartoon world,
exactly.
It's funny,
exactly. You know, and it's just teeing off on all these chickens. Like, what possesses a child to do that?
For a moment, I want you to think about the one person out there who is just crying in outrage that these rapscallions,
yes,
these scofflaws, destroyed the futures of generations of chickens.
Yeah, but at the same time, vegans and vegetarians, they don't count.
Right. Well, what if they went in there with a Bic lighter and some cheese shredders or something like that, and they destroyed meals for a couple of weeks?
It's terrible. It's bad news.
Don't
it's
even
a
know
waste
what I'm
of food.
About.
It's terrible. Actually, Foster Farms, they put out a $5,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest. Well, here's the kicker.
Yeah.
They posted the slaughter, if you will, on social media.
Yeah, of course they did.
And they boasted about how many chickens they killed and how they
and
did.
And you watched it and had a big barrel laugh.
I did not watch. There's no video as far as I can tell. But
right.
Stop
laughing.
The mindset of an imbecile, you know? It's like, what in the hell are you doing? What are you thinking?
The guys that went and killed the chickens are the ones that posted the video. Is that what you're saying? Or Foster Farms posted the video?
No, the guys who went with the golf clubs posted on social media, you know, you'll never guess what we did last Friday night, man.
Check this out.
Check this out.
I wonder what the sentencing is, because that's some seriously disturbing behavior that seems like it might lead to... You know, when a person like that grows up, to have the heart to be able to do that, I wonder where they go next, you know, to get their next kick.
Well, that's the point. They're all facing animal cruelty charges, plus a bunch of fines for breaking and entering and destruction of property and blah, 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 blah. But you're absolutely right. You know, if they start killing animals at this age, you know, is this the next active shooter situation?
Yeah, you know? Probably. Probably so. They have little respect for life, even chicken life.
Yes.
All right, you got another animal story? You said you had two.
I do, and this is probably my favorite story of the day.
Uh-oh.
So,
did you laugh?
Yes, I did. And how, Phil?
That can't be good.
So, we're doing the show today on Thursday. Well, yesterday in China, in Wednesday, was what's called National Day. Okay,
right.
And it's kind of like their 4th of July celebration,
yep.
Okay? And it's the whole country gets together and parades and fireworks and everything. Well, a guy was bringing 10,000 pigeons into the region, 10,000 pigeons.
Why would you have 10,000 pigeons with
them? They were going to release them in different parts of the country as part of the celebration. So, like, all at once, they're going to release 10,000 pigeons.
Yeah.
You know, like when the groom or when the priest says... you may now kiss the bride, and they release pigeons, and it's a beautiful thing and all that.
Isn't it normally doves?
Whatever.
Okay.
They're white pigeons, if that helps.
Yeah, albino pigeons. We'll take those.
They're cheaper.
It's a good
substitute.
Yeah.
You pay more for the doves, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're harder to train.
Well, the pigeons had to be checked in through customs, and they had to go through security checkpoints because they had to be flown on planes. Well, the Chinese government is insane, but...
Right?
They had to be checked for an unspecified security risk. 10,000 pigeons.
How do you check a pigeon?
They had to anally probe every single one of the pigeons.
How many?
10,000 cavity searches. Can you imagine that?
Hate to be the guy that got stuck with that job.
Yeah. That's the guy you don't like when you're the boss.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, get over there.
Right.
Oh, man.
I know what
not
you're doing
me,
for the
not
next
me.
Day.
Please not me. It's my last day on the job.
Evidently, security analysts over there said, you know, a lot of people have thought about stuffing explosives in the anal cavity of a pigeon and then using it as a ruse. Like, oh, well, we're going to a wedding, so we're going to bring these pigeons across the border or we're going to bring these pigeons to your celebration. And then instead of releasing, they hit the button and you got 10,000 exploded pigeons.
Oh, man.
Well, you need to release them a little bit first to get the explosion in the sky.
Well, that's if you don't want to hurt anybody, but if you're a terrorist.
Is that what you do, Chris?
You would think. You know, when I visualized it,
it's
the pigeons taking off first and then not making it very far.
Which is fun. Well, the point is here, the reason I ask is which would be funnier?
Come on, Phil.
The one where people aren't hurt, I would assume.
Following the stream of consciousness here.
Oh,
all right, Chris, your turn, since we're talking about smart guys. What's happening at UC Riverside?
Well, they're going to try to break a world record tomorrow, Phil, a Guinness Book of World Records. And you might be asking, well, what is it that they're trying to break? What is the record?
What is the record they're trying to break?
Phil, they're trying to see if they could break the record for the most people popping bubble wrap at the same time.
That's ridiculous. How's that?
There's your college money well spent.
That's going to be noisy.
They have dedicated 1,000 students and over one half of a mile of bubble wrap. So
wow.
These students can all line up and start popping this bubble wrap. If they succeed, they will beat a record set just in May where 942 students from Minnesota were popping bubble wrap. So they're going to be breaking it by, 58 students.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to stress about the mess, though, because all of the material is set to be recycled by a local recycling plant.
You know, this comes on the heels of the UC Irvine, just down the road.
Mm-hmm. UCI.
UCI. They just set a record for the world's largest pillow fight.
Oh.
That sounds cool.
Did anybody get hurt and start crying?
I don't know. I don't think anybody put rocks in their pillowcase.
I hope not.
I hope they did that thing where they cut the pillows so the feathers go flying everywhere.
No. I watched a video. There was none of that. It was like they were weird pillows, you know, like the cheap ones.
Yeah, you can't have a pillow fight without goose feathers flying everywhere.
Yeah. Girls in lingerie.
Goose feathers.
Right.
All right. Hey, up next, why is a woman suing a sperm bank?
I don't know, Phil. Why?
You're going to have to wait. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends on a beautiful day here. It could be more beautiful if the beautiful Erin Myers were here, but she is not. We shed a quick tear, we dried up, and now we're going to pull up our pants like big men and do a show.
Yeah, well, some of us shed.
Yeah.
No.
Some of us shed a tear. Jay, you did not?
I did not.
You did not shed a tear over the missing Erin Myers. How about you, Chris?
I'm sad.
Are you?
Yeah.
You are visibly shaken.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Because you usually sit right next to her, too.
Right. And she smells nice and, you know.
Oh, God.
Makes the studio a little more pleasant.
Yeah. All right. Well, we like pleasant women. Here's one for you. Out of Uniontown, Ohio, her name is Jennifer Cramblett. She's 36. She went to a sperm bank. Not too far from her town. In 2011, 3 years ago, she's white. So she picked a white guy as a donor.
Sure.
Yeah. Just a little bit of background information I want you to put in your back pocket as I go ahead with the rest of the story. But when she gave birth in August of 2012, a year later, she had a baby girl that was mixed race. Turns out the sperm bank had mislabeled the donor and he was actually a black guy. So now Jennifer is suing the sperm bank. The suit says she and her lesbian partner, Amanda, love their daughter, but raising her has been stressful because they live in an all-white town. That's Uniontown, Ohio. The suit says Jennifer grew up stereotyping non-white people, did not meet any black people until college, and says she has, quote, limited cultural competency related to African Americans.
That's one way to say I don't like them.
Did an attorney write that?
I mean, come on. Jeez. Oh.
Jennifer, yeah. Remember that, you racist. That's what you say. Well, I have limited cultural competency related to African Americans.
That's fantastic.
Jennifer also says her family has already had enough trouble embracing her homosexuality, so she doubts they'll embrace her daughter. She's suing for wrongful birth and breach of warranty.
So what do you do? Warranty? What? It's not Walmart. You can't just take it back.
Can you just return your baby?
Yeah. What the hell's wrong
with
people?
I'm just surprised that you have to sue over stress. I mean, in that situation, can't you just sue because you paid for a product and you did not get that? And I hate to refer to a baby as a product, but you didn't get what you signed an agreement for? Isn't that
pretty much
enough for a lawsuit?
Yeah, breach of contract? Not because you're a racist?
Yeah.
Right.
What if the baby was breached? Can you sue for breach of breach?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Too many breaches in one question. Somebody ought to sue. I don't know that we're too unhappy about this lady that won the Scottish lotto, Jay.
Scottish teenager. She's 18 years old. She won the lotto for $1.5 million. Right? Which is not a bad payday.
For a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
In Scotland, where the unemployment rate is like 60.
Not a bad payday. $1.5 million. Well, she says that she just wants to live her life because she was very happy. She still lives with her mom. She still rides the bus.
Yeah.
But she did splurge on one thing.
What's that? New car?
New boobs.
Oh.
She went out and she got her pair.
Her other ones were only 17 years old.
Yeah.
Had the warranty run out?
Yeah. She just went out and she goes, you know what? I wanted to spend a little bit of money on myself, so I got new boobs and a couple Louis Vuitton handbags. Louis Vuitton handbags.
So all told, that's about 15 grand.
Yeah, exactly. And she's just going to live her life the way that she likes it. She loves the way that her life is run. She loves taking the bus. She loves her job. So why change anything? Just have a bunch of money in the bank.
Yeah. So a little money, little 15 grand or so. Although it's probably more, because do they use the euro in Scotland?
I think they do. Yeah, they're on European dollars.
So an $8,000 American boob job might be $12,000 when you adjust for euro.
Yeah, okay. But still, she's got a bunch of dough in the bank. You know, that's what I would do. If I won for like $1 million or a couple million bucks, yes, Phil, a boob job.
Right out of the gate, first thing you'd do.
Yes, no, but, you know, I would still work. I would still have, you know, I'd still live in the same house. Well, you know, I might buy a bigger
house. Up to a certain point? Like $10 million versus, I don't know, $50 million.
If I won $50 million, well, because I love what I do, I'd probably still work. I'd still work as a reporter. I'd still do this show, you know what I mean? Just because it's fun.
Buy the radio station.
Yeah, and, you know, as soon as my boss ticks me off later.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Oh, you know what? How about I just buy this and then fire you? What do you think of them apples?
Right. Bring in your mom to work. She could be the program director. Your brother could be the production
director. If I brought
in
my mom, it would be all Kenny Loggins all the time.
No,
so,
no.
You know?
Please never buy a radio station.
On a loop.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. Hey, Chris, we've got some more animal news. I can't believe is the planet taken over by animals? Has that happened?
No.
They're washing up on the shores.
They are, yeah. Especially over in Alaska, there are walruses that are taking up the shorelines. And there's no doubt that there's some shifts going on in the planet. And over in Alaska, there's some areas where these walruses used to hang out on the ice. That ice is now melting. So they just go over to the shorelines of places that are populated by people.
Yeah.
And there's an area where there are 35,000 walruses on top of each other on a shoreline beach. If you get a chance, Google it. The picture is ridiculous to see this many walruses on top of each other. And it's to the point.
Why don't you send that photo to the web gremlins?
I will do that. We'll get that over. And
or are they munchkins?
Now.
Yeah, munchkins.
The web munchkins.
The web munchkins.
They forgot to wear their badges today.
But they still sing Oompa Loompa Loompity-Doo.
Good one. Yay.
The airlines have decided that they need to stay away from these walruses because they're worried that if they freak them out, these walruses are all just going to take off and start stomping each other and tusking each other and possibly killing thousands of them. So the FAA has reported that they are now required planes stay 2,000 feet above them and more than a half a mile away from the strip near this area in Alaska where all these walruses are congregated.
That's just to stay away from the smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Can you imagine that?
Oh, funny. That's the first thing you think of, but it's a good point.
It's like, no, I don't want to be anywhere near that. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, something else you might not want to be anywhere near is this young lady, Jay.
Yeah. This poor thing. I don't even know if I could do the story with a straight face.
Another funny one?
No, it's not funny.
What? See, it is funny. What is it?
Workers at a Columbia clinic had to remove a contraception item from a woman's parts.
What?
Hey, Nanu.
Yes. Yes, the lower region. She basically said that her mom told her that if she didn't want to get pregnant, to use this in her hoo-ha.
Okay.
The woman shoved a potato up there,
what?
Phil. A potato.
Russet?
I don't know. Sweet.
The old potato in the tailpipe trick.
I don't know. No, not the tailpipe.
Not the tailpipe there, buddy.
That's different.
Evidently, it was up there for 2 weeks. She went into the clinic complaining of abdominal pain, and the potato grew roots.
Of course it did.
So they had to remove the spud, but luckily they didn't have to use surgery.
See,
so
if you're
going to
peel and remove the eyes before you even attempt that,
then the potato can't grow roots?
Yes.
Okay.
How about just don't attempt it at all?
While you're thinking about this, think about all the junk in your garage, in the rafters, under your bed, in every nook and cranny of your house. You just want to dump it all in the trash, right? But wait! You might be sitting on a gold mine, and the Deals Diva has a bunch of ways for you to make money off of your old stuff, and she joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Quite a show already, and there's so much ahead here on Phil Hewlett and Friends in our second hour. I've got to remind you that our tech guy, Jeremy, will be with us, and also we're going to learn about just how much fish we're eating and how long before all the fish are gone, and you won't be able to have fish anymore. See? That's what we're talking about. We're here to help you. I'm Phil. Jay and Chris are here. Aaron has the day off. And all that old stuff in your garage, in storage, in your backyard, it's getting ridiculous how much stuff piles up over the years. Do something about it. Marla Jo Fisher is the Deals Diva, and she's here to tell you how to make some money off of all of that junk. We love that idea. Marla Jo, hello, how are you?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Doing great. Where do we start? I mean, it's just such a huge pile. Do we post everything on Craigslist?
Oh, man. Craigslist is a great place to, you know, to get going. You know, a lot of people say...
But you wait for an axe murderer to show up, right?
Because, you know, I don't want people in my house.
Have you
ever heard that?
Exactly. You don't want the guy to come in and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're in a trash bag and you're on the way to the dump.
Well, you know, when I do something on Craigslist, I meet the people outside. And, in fact, when I bought furniture for my son's room, I even... went over, and they had put all the furniture out on the lawn just because they don't want people in their house either. So I would just encourage you to think about that because it's a way to use Craigslist, you know, without having people invade your personal.
And I will tell you, Craigslist really works, at least for me. I sold a car in 15 minutes on Craigslist.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. And by the guy was there, and while he was standing there talking with me and haggling, I got 15 other interested parties.
I bought a car on Craigslist, and I saved a lot of money, too.
Yeah, so thanks to Craig for whatever he did to come up with his list. What about you talked about furniture, but big items like furniture and maybe office equipment or maybe things of real value like jewelry, assuming you want to get rid of that. Is there another way to unload that some of that stuff and get top dollar for it?
Yeah, you know what? If you don't want to hassle with Craigslist, because let's face it is a lot of hassle, right? You don't want to have a garage sale because you don't want to spend all Saturday morning haggling with people. You don't want to use Craigslist. So how about just taking all your stuff to an auction place? There's an auction place called South Coast Auctions in Santa Ana, and there's other ones around the valley, too, so check it out. And all you do is you show up, you give them all your stuff, they sell it for you, they take a commission, and they give you a check. How does that sound?
That does sound good, but what kind of a commission do they get off of that?
Yeah, sounds expensive.
It depends on the auction house. You know, usually they're going to take about 20 to 40% off the top.
Wait, did you say 40?
20 to 40%. I mean, it depends on the auction house.
Oh,
but, you know, it's stuff that was in your garage anyway. What do you care?
Yeah, but I care if it's worth a lot of money,
exactly.
Especially if I'm taking some jewelry over there. You know, here's grandma's, gold-plated goose, you know, with diamonds for eyes. Who knows? You know, she got it in the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. Who knows how old grandma was? And it's got a pedigree. It's got that whole, what's that other word that they use? When you're talking about something that has a backstory to it? Providence, yeah.
Right.
Providence.
Well, here's the story, though. You know what? You're never going to get retail for that anyway, dude.
Oh.
Because really, you know, the people who turn around and resell it are going to have to make some money, right?
True. Yeah. Right. Well, be happy with it, because I always hear, you know, they've got a copy of the Gettysburg Address, and strike price was $10,000. Well, that's a lot of money for a nice piece of history like that. Huh? So if I get a buck for something, I should count myself lucky.
Well, of course, you can sell things on eBay, but that's kind of a hassle, too.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the auction house, load up your car, take it over to the auction house, give it to them, and let them do all the work. And they'll come, they'll sell your office furniture. They'll sell your old appliances if they're working and good quality.
Really? All of that
you
stuff?
Know? Yeah, they really, you can find auction houses that will sell pretty much anything for you. And basically, you have to do zero work. So I like that part.
Yeah, all right, good. How about pawn shops? Should you bother?
Oh, you know what? I love pawn shops. Have you ever been to a pawn shop?
I've been inside one, sure, but I've never really... I mean, the whole idea gets me a little skeevy. I don't know why.
I know. Pawn shops feel creepy, although I think they feel less creepy now that people watch those pawn shop reality shows on TV,
Why? Does it seem a little bit more legitimate? I mean, we had a pawn shop guy on here once, and it did seem legit. It was almost seemed like a good place to invest your dollar.
Well, it's a good place. It's a good place to buy things as well as selling them. For example, my son wanted to play the saxophone. I didn't want to pay $450 for a used saxophone for him, knowing him. And so I went and bought one. I actually found one for $250 at a pawn shop because my friend who's a musician told me to go and, buy musical instruments there. But you can also go and sell things now. Now, of course, you can pawn things if you want them back, which means that you go and you get a loan against it, and then you hope to pay the loan back in time to reclaim your item.
Gotcha. All right.
You can also just sell things. Jewelry, golf clubs. I mean, they'll buy pretty much anything.
Yeah. How about if you have a box full of old cell phones? I mean, I do. I don't know what to do with all of those. Burn them?
Okay, well, here's the cool thing. There's these electronic kiosks that have sprung up at a whole lot of different malls. There's a company called ecoatm.com. You can find the listings and find out where they're located. And they will actually buy your items. It's kind of cool. You go, the machine looks like an ATM. You put your item in, and what they will buy is they'll buy cell phones, they'll buy tablets, and they'll buy MP3 players.
Wow.
So what you do is you go up there, and you put your item in the machine, and then it's read electronically somehow, and then they offer you a price.
Okay, so is there a chance that you put it in the machine and it malfunctions and you don't get your item back?
Well, because they don't take it away. I mean, it's just kind of there, but it's not in a way that it's inaccessible for you to get it back.
I have to just change my frame of mind. I mean, I'm constantly in this whole conversation thinking the worst about people and machines. I should think...
You're so cynical, Phil.
I should think the best, that something good is going to come out of every one of these transactions.
Let me tell you what concerned me about these electronic kiosks is that people are going to steal iPhones or whatever and take them there and sell them,
Oh, yeah, right. We know where we got our stuff, so we don't have to worry about those guys. Hopefully karma will come around and knock them in the back of the head.
Well, I found out that basically, you have to show a valid ID and you have to do a thumbprint in order to sell there.
Wow.
So if you're reading this and you're a crook, don't bother. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're a crook, don't bother doing it because it's not going to work. And people actually check those.
How dare you, woman? We don't have crooks listening to this program.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about one other thing, Phil.
What's that?
Junk cars.
Oh.
I've heard so many people say to me, I donated my car to charity because they don't want to hassle with it. They know it's a piece of crap and it's not worth anything.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like it's not that great of a deal. I mean, how much of a tax write-off are you going to get anyway?
Here's the thing. And, a lot of those charity people, they're really shady, those, give your car to charity things, because the charities only make a tiny bit of money and a lot of those charities are pretty questionable anyway. So, a better option for you, if you actually really want to give your car to charity, sell it and give the money to charity.
Yeah, why not?
But here's how you do it, because people really don't know this. Because I've talked to friends and they're like, what? You did what? There's a whole lot of people that will just come and buy your junk car and they'll haul it away for you and everything. And you can make $200, $300, $400, $500 on it.
How about that?
All you have to do is just do an online search for, buy junk cars. I sadly just had to say goodbye to my own car recently doing that, and I got $400 for it.
And did you donate it to charity?
I donated it to my wallet because it really
That's
what I'm talking about.
Right? Charity of me.
Yeah, a new pair of shoes or
something. Wow. All right. Well, we love reading your columns, Marla Jo Fisher. You have your deals column in the Orange County Register. When exactly does that run?
Well, you know, in the past it was running on Thursdays, but there is, starting this Sunday, it's going to be running again on Sundays in the local section.
Is that your cheapo column?
And that's my my regular deals column that has all kinds of deals and bargains.
And the cheapo deals is the regular one, or that's something
and
the else?
The cheapo travel column also runs on Sundays inside the travel section, and every week I try to highlight different destinations and ways that you can save money. And I think this week I'm going to be doing Santa Barbara.
Wow, I love that place. And I love talking with you, Marla Jo Fisher, the Deals Diva. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks, Phil.
There you go. Nice lady, huh?
She was great.
She is fearless, and she is frugal.
Yeah, I like that about a woman.
She's cheap.
That's what I like about her.
Yeah? She's not going to spend your money.
That's right.
Well, she will, just less of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, nothing but serious stuff at the movies this weekend, but is any of it any good? Our guest movie reviewer joins us live next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Just looking at that picture of walruses in Alaska, Chris, it's on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com, thanks to the web munchkins.
It's impressive, eh?
Yeah. Imagine what that smells like on that beach.
That's a good question.
It is. And a good question to ask today is, what movie are you going to see this weekend? Have you any idea? There are a handful of them coming out. Joining us live is one of the hosts of the podcast, The Long and Late Movie Show, Russell Hainline. Hey, Russell, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. Love talking to the podcasters. When does your podcast post? How often a week?
Post once a week. We post on Tuesday mornings for the Pacific Coast, right around lunchtime for the East Coast.
Fantastic. It's you and two other, another guy and a gal, right? Just ragging on
correct.
Movies. Very good.
Absolutely.
And let's go over the weekend releases, the new ones, and we have this horror movie, and I've got to ask the question, is Annabelle the spawn of Chucky?
It might as well be. I think we can all agree that antique dolls are terrifying in every way, shape, and form.
Jay's not going to see. Jay can't even look at the
no, the previews.
Yeah.
No, that really is like terrifying.
Yeah. I'm with you, Jay.
Ever since talking Tina on the Twilight Zone, dolls have been scary. So anyway, go ahead, Russell.
I had a talking Pee Wee Herman doll when I was a kid.
Did you?
That's what freaked me out.
Wow.
Because like the battery started to go in it.
Yeah.
And then you would like put it away in the toy box, and like a few hours later, it would just like start talking out of the toy box. That's all right. Enough
yeah.
of that.
Well, if you look at the movie poster for Annabelle, I mean, it does look like Chucky. So anyway, Russell, go ahead. This is not a sequel to the Chucky franchise.
Guess not.
Yeah, I'm lost again. I can't hear.
No, I can. We can hear you now. You there, Russell?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
So the question is, Annabelle is not a piece of the Chucky franchise, or is it?
No, it is not. It's actually a prequel to last year's hit horror movie, The Conjuring. And this time we've got Annabelle, who is the antique doll, terrorizing a young couple who believes that their home is haunted by this doll after their home is invaded one night.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This does not sound good.
No, thank you.
All right. Very good. Some people just like the horror movies no matter what. But hopefully this is not horrifying, but there's a host of big-name actors in this movie, Gone Girl. It's a drama. Ben Affleck, Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry. You just throw Affleck or Tyler Perry in a movie and people flock to the theater. But that doesn't necessarily mean this movie's any good.
Yeah, well, this movie is very well received by critics so far, 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's by David Fincher, who is usually pretty reliable when it comes to quality. And this movie is going to be more than just a critical darling, too. I wanted to go get tickets to see it tonight, and I went 12 hours in advance to go buy tickets, and I'm relegated to the front row of the house. So people who want to go see this movie this weekend, buy tickets in advance, go early, otherwise you're going to be pushed up against the screen the way that I am.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Ben Affleck, Tyler Perry, they get the people to buy tickets no matter what it is.
That's a 2 hour and 30 minute movie, too. You're going to be staring straight up at that screen for two and a half hours. You're going to need a neck brace.
I hear there's a scene, and I don't know if this landed on the editing floor or not, but there's a scene where Ben Affleck actually references Batman.
Cool.
I am not sure about that. The thing that everybody's talking about right now is there's allegedly a split second of Ben Affleck full frontal nudity.
Oh, yeah.
That has the whole internet all...
Has Neil Patrick Harris been interviewed about that?
Oh, come on.
No, I'm just curious to know. By the way, I was making up the Batman part. That didn't happen. It was all faking you out. Hey, there's Nicolas Cage fans out there. Everybody loves Nick Cage for whatever reason.
I'm a huge fan.
Are you? Good. That's
absolutely.
Yes, that's high praise. Anyway, Left Behind 2014, that implies when you have the parenthetical year in there that this is a remake of an older movie, and I can't recall, to be honest, but you're the movie expert. What's this about?
So this is a remake of a Christian movie that Kirk Cameron was the star of a few years back. It's an adaptation of the popular Christian fiction novel series. In it, millions of people disappear one day, presumably in the rapture, and the people who are left behind, the titular left behind, are left to sort of pick up the pieces and figure out what life is all about now that millions of people have vanished.
And Nick Cage is there to shepherd them through.
One would hope, Reddit users refer to Nick Cage affectionately as the one true God. We've got this faith-based film, one true God, mixing together. We'll see what the result is.
All right, good. Maybe men, women, and children will survive. And let me guess, this movie, the woman is Jennifer Garner and the child is Adam Sandler.
No, but very nice segue, by the way. I was wildly impressed just then.
Yeah, happy to help anytime.
He's good at that. The more you talk to us, you'll figure it out. Sometimes he leaves you in the middle of the desert, and you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, but then about 5 minutes later, you get it.
Yeah.
So that's when it really works. So, Russell, what about this one?
This one, essentially the plot of this movie is, look at how the internet is destroying the way we live our lives. We see teenagers, adults, and families torn asunder by the horrible psychological disconnect caused by staring at a tiny glowing screen all day. I'm pretty surprised that it's at 41% on Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of the people that I know and trust who have seen it call it overbearing, outdated, and embarrassing.
Ooh, not good.
Yes.
Oops. Not good.
Yes, not good is the bottom line there for sure.
Yeah, and Chris, didn't Adam Sandler just sign some kind of big boffo Hollywood deal with somebody?
He did. He signed a deal with Netflix, a four-movie deal, his production company Happy Madison. And his response was, I liked it because I like the idea of striking a deal with these guys because Netflix sounds kind of like Wet Chicks.
Wow. That was his...
the
humor,
savvy
the hilarity never stops. Yeah. Well, nice to get the Netflix deal while he's on a upswing with this movie, Men, Women, and Children. Well, listen, your podcast, The Long and Late Movie Show, is on iTunes. It's easy to find. You just search for it, and it's been great talking with you. You know your stuff, and when you have some spare time, join us again on the show sometime, won't you?
I would be happy to. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, same here. Russell Hainlein. There he goes, one of the three people on that podcast. First time we've had another podcaster on the show.
Is it really?
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Does he know that this one's better than his? Is he okay with that?
Well, he was impressed with the segue.
Is he gone already? We can't ask him?
Yeah, no, he's gone. He's gone. But he didn't quit. Like this frozen food master guy. Did you hear about that, Chris?
I did hear about it. There's a guy, his name's Jeffrey NG is his last name.
That would be pronounced Ing.
Ing.
Ah!
There you go. He found this great niche market in reviewing. I'm going to let Jay finish his chortle over here.
That was fantastic. That was just like, if there was ever a grand slam, that was it right there. I'm sorry. That was fantastic.
Get the movie guy, the podcast guy back on so we can see how the pros
that
do it.
That was funny. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Nailed it.
I'm sorry,
after
man.
You. So, Ing.
Yes.
He found this niche market in the reviewing community, similar to what the movie reviewer we just had on was doing, only he did it for frozen foods, all these like banquet dinners and stuff you see in the supermarket aisles.
Right.
And he called his show Freezer Burn, and it was really popular. It's something like 700 episodes. Well, he's in the middle of one of these reviews recently, and he just lost it. He's looking at this banquet dinner, and it's tailored towards kids. It's got like a picture of How to Train Your Dragon caricatures on it.
Yep.
And he says, what are we doing, people? This is a kid's cuisine. We're feeding this to our kids. This is disgusting. I'm looking at these ingredients. I don't recognize half of these ingredients. This is horrible.
All right.
You know what? I can't do this anymore. This is horrible. I quit. Tosses the cuisine into the sink and just walks to the back of the camera and shuts it off. Says, kill the mic.
That was it.
That was it.
He's done.
Now, well, who knows? I'm sure he's going to come back. The whole thing's gone semi-viral, and you know, some people are accusing him of staging this, and I watched it. It does look a little bit, you know, like
and
hokey,
we're talking about Mr.
Amateurish.
NG
Ing.
I wonder how many people in middle America know that it's Ing.
No one.
No. Yeah. No, because Chris is from that part of the country.
You know,
well,
I think
Northwest.
I think it's a great idea, though. I mean, like, I always thought, like, the Food Channel or whatever, they need to do, like, the Bachelor cooking show.
Yeah.
You know, like a hot plate and a frozen meal or something. You know, something that you're coming out of a bad divorce. You've got no friends.
Yep.
You know, wife has taken everything, and you're in your studio apartment. What do you cook for dinner?
Yeah.
Here's a banquet meal on a budget.
Yeah.
With
or
frozen
Hungry
food.
Man or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but all like how to zhuzh it up a little bit, you know, and make it like, you know, you can give the finger to the ex-wife. I'm making a meal, lady. I don't need you.
There's some parsley on it.
Here's something I don't get, guys. Amazon Prime has slapped a racism warning on the old Tom and Jerry cartoons. It says, quote, these shorts may depict some ethnic and racial prejudices that were once commonplace in American society. They were wrong then, and they are wrong today.
What?
Among other things, the show has characters in blackface, and there's an African-American maid named Mammy Two Shoes in Tom and Jerry.
Old Disney stuff had a lot of that, too.
Yeah. Hey, that's it for this hour. More to come, including our tech guy. And we're downing so many fish sticks that there won't be any for your grandchildren. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You may not even know you care about them until we talk about them. That's how important this program is to you. When you hear from the experts, the authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, sustainable seafood. Is it even possible at this point? Baseball's playoffs begin, and what you cannot smell might be a good sign you're headed for the grave. And what's going to happen to all those phones out there that are stolen? Is it possible that they're ending up at the store and you're going to buy one without knowing it? Unwittingly buying a stolen phone? We're going to hear from our tech guy. He's coming up. The friends are here. Most of them, in fact. Aaron Myers is not, but Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, are both here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We've got so much to talk about this hour. And why don't we start with you, Jay, because we love the people that have the great ideas.
That's true.
And they take them to Kickstarter and places like that. They raise a bunch of money, and they go out and they try to build it. And what is this guy trying to build?
Well, he's trying to build a scooter. But if you're not familiar with what Kickstarter is or crowdfunding, basically people have these ideas. They post their ideas on the internet. You donate money, and then you get something out of the final project if they make their goal.
Yeah.
This guy is developing a scooter that goes about 20 miles an hour, but it's...
20 miles an hour?
20 miles an hour. It's an electric scooter.
It's faster than I can run.
That's very true.
Slower than most scooters, though, right?
Well, I mean...
Most electric.
Well, it's faster than all coolers. Let's put it that way.
That's the exact part. It's that it's got a cooler for a seat.
Yeah.
Okay, so the cooler... This is actually kind of cool. The scooter is made in such a way that it can carry up to 400 pounds.
Yeah.
The
That's
cooler...
A lot of beer and ice.
Yeah. The cooler can hold 96 cans, 12-ounce cans, plus ice... It's got speakers on the side.
Uh-huh.
It has Bluetooth capability, so you can connect your phone and play your music through your cooler.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome idea. It's when you need a beer in a hurry.
This is, okay, here's the idea. You buy a fleet of these, and you know how the beach has the bike path, the boardwalk, whatever it is.
Right.
You get your sales team together, most likely 10 ladies in bikinis.
Yes.
And you just ride up and down the beach. Of course, the problem is... alcoholic beverages are not allowed in most beaches anymore. At
well, then you do it snow cones,
let alone on a motor vehicle.
Snow cones,
right. Yeah.
Soda pops, energy drinks.
Well, see, I was thinking like at a stadium for like tailgating purposes.
Yeah.
You know, you just had, hey, man, beer, you know, $3 or $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called the Cruiser, spelled with a K, Cruiser.
Yeah.
It's raised around $8,000. They're trying to get $90,000. They've got about 20 days to go.
Yeah. So you run by and you got a sign on your thing, and everybody's got their phone with them. You can just send a quick text message and say, hey, you can't say beer me on the beach.
No, I don't think
but
so.
But at a golf course, you can.
There you go. See, anytime, or like a festival, just drive around like the Orange County Fair.
I think there's some money to be made with these things.
Absolutely.
So if he may, I wonder what he's going to sell them for, should he be able to get enough money to manufacture them.
The article does not say.
I don't know.
Like
I'm in.
He's lagging a little bit, though, right? I mean, 21 days left, he still needs $81,000.
Yes.
It's a lot to overcome.
He's hoping guys like us talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Start to spread the word.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what do you search on Kickstarter? It's, did we know?
Cruiser.
Cruiser.
K-R-E-W-S-E-R. Oh. Cruiser.
K-R-E-W-S-E-R. All right.
Yes, the 20-mile-an-hour cooler.
Let's get a link over to our web munchkins.
Munchkins.
All right. What else, Jay? While we were talking about beer and...
If you listen to the program, a couple months ago, I told you guys about a program in a German town where they were going to start paying alcoholics to clean the streets.
Yeah.
But they were going to pay them in beer.
They were going to pay them in beer?
They were going to pay them in beer, with beer.
Okay.
So, okay, you clean up four blocks. That's good for X number of beers.
Right.
Remember that story?
Yeah, I do.
It's officially underway.
All right.
It is officially paying. It's called the Pickup Project.
They got to wait till the job is done to get the beer, though.
Correct.
Because you don't want a sloppy, drunk, homeless guy cleaning the streets.
It's recruiting alcoholics and drug addicts to clean the streets in exchange for about $2 an hour, as well as free beer, tobacco, and food.
Wow.
So I thought it was kind of a cool idea. So it basically boils down to the minimum wage per hour.
Yeah,
but
see, they were standing on street corners asking for money that they would take straight to the liquor store to buy beer and cigarettes.
And that's exactly what the city officials say the plan or the project is meant to do. It's meant to teach them the value of a dollar. You can't just sit on the streets and beg for money. They're trying to clean that up. So, hey, why not go pick up a few gum wrappers and cigarette butts and whatever else, turn it into cash, beer, tobacco, and food.
Yeah.
Plus, you get them out and you get them moving, and you never know. You know, maybe their blood starts pumping and they get a little bit of motivation behind them.
Right.
That's what the health officials in the city are hoping happens.
Those Germans are pragmatic people.
They are.
Yes, they are. And we have, and it's a good thing here in America, we have laws against certain things, and there are deviants out there, Jay, aren't there?
I think I found the deviant of all deviants, to be honest with you. FBI in New York say they've arrested a guy on child porn charges. Okay, that's nothing new. That's nothing outlandish. Evidently, he has admitted to them that he has a certain fetish.
Uh-oh.
Has nothing to do with actual children or actual porn. He just likes to have sex with stuffed animals.
What? Hmm. In public or in the privacy of his own home?
Privacy of his own home.
Well, let me ask the question. As bizarre and strange as that sounds, there are no victims here.
Correct. He has the online handle as Mookie. He okay. belongs to a website called Website 21 or something to that effect that allegedly distributes child pornography, and it kind of led to a discussion board. Mm-hmm. And he is the guy who started the discussion board about having sex with stuffed animals.
All right.
What kind of animals, what positions he likes to put the animals in, he likes to dress the animals up.
But he's a child molester. And so this is just an accoutrement to his personality makeup.
Yeah.
Or breakdown, whatever
you want
to call it.
But you're absolutely right. It's like, hey, kid, get off the bed. I want to have sex with your teddy bear. I got no problem with that.
Right. No, you don't? No, the fact that the kid's in there.
Well, that's true.
You have
that's
a problem
true.
With
yeah,
that.
You got to get
clarity, Jay. Clarity. You're skipping
Smoke a little fast.
You're skipping a little important details here and there.
I guess the point would be like, I'd rather have him have sex with a stuffed animal than...
In the privacy of his own home.
Yes.
With no children watching.
Exactly.
Please.
Well, nobody can stop him from doing that.
True.
No, they can't. In fact, I don't think there's a law against that. But again, it's part and parcel to what he's being charged with, and that's child molestation.
Yeah, weirdo. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, fine. He's weird. But there's nothing weird about the postseason matchups in Major League Baseball, and don't you love living in Southern California right now?
Yeah, it's a good time, man, because we've got two teams in the playoffs, and both of them look strong. I mean, all eight teams right now look like they can be World Series champions.
No, they don't.
Well, who doesn't then? give me some names that don't.
Well, anybody other than the Dodgers or the Angels.
Okay,
there you
I agree with you then. In that case, you are right, Phil.
Of course.
But, we had a great game last night, actually. And I said there's two teams from California, but two of them for Southern California. San Francisco won last night. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates in a drubbing. Bumgarner on the mound just threw a heck of a game. It was a complete game, four hits. But tonight, the Kansas City Royals will come into Anaheim to face the Angels for a five-game series. And tomorrow night, the St. Louis Cardinals will be facing the L.A. Dodgers. And the journey will begin, the journey to the freeway series, if it's going to happen. San Francisco is going to play Washington now, and Detroit will play Baltimore.
The Cardinals come alive in the postseason, so it's not going to be easy for the Dodgers. And the Royals, I think the Angels might have done better, cruised along if they've got the A's, because they just handled the A's in the regular season. And the Royals are another story. They could just turn around and be the cream of the crop out of the American League side.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, especially in that the A's brought them right down to the wire. They ended up winning in the 12th inning and sort of with some old school bunt and run baseball.
And I tuned out at the bottom of the eighth thinking that the A's were coming. And I'm thinking, right. Oh, great. Angels got the A's. That's good.
You can't tune out until the end.
Wake up the next morning and, whoo, wait a minute.
Unless it's that San Francisco game last night. You could have tuned out pretty early in that one.
True. All right. We'll go Los Dodgers and the Angels.
Oh, yeah. Big NFL football matchup tonight, too. The Green Bay Packers are going to be facing off against the Minnesota Vikings, who just started Teddy Bridgewater, young kid who won last weekend and is getting a bunch of praise for that. So see what happens.
Angels or Dodgers. Either way.
There you go.
Could beat both.
I like it.
Could beat both of those football teams. Want to know if you'll be dead in 5 years?
No.
Sure.
All right. You'll bite? Let's go. According to a new study, the best way to predict whether you'll die soon has to do with your sense of smell. Researchers have looked at more than 3,000 men and women between the ages of 57 and 85. This is what you two have to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked them to identify five different scents. Here they are. Peppermint, fish, oranges, roses, and leather. Then, after 5 years, they counted up how many of these people had died, and the ones who failed the test were much more likely to no longer be with us.
No.
39% of those who failed the test were dead. 19% who barely passed were dead, compared to just 10% of the people who passed with flying colors.
Where did they choose those scents from? I mean, don't you feel like it could be any five things that you picked out of
they're
the wild?
They're scientists. They're beanie heads. They're smart guys. They're, what are they, Jay?
Brainiacs.
There you go. The authors of the study say they're not sure why this is the case, but they think losing your sense of smell is an early warning sign of other age-related issues. So whether or not you can smell those five things, peppermint, fish, oranges, roses, and leather, is a better way of predicting death than anything else they've come up with so far.
Okay, well, I can smell all those things, so we're good over here.
Yeah, but you're not in the age range yet.
Not yet.
No, you're nowhere near. You have plenty of time to sniff and smell. I think I'm pretty good. I can smell all of these things, assuming I'm close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, does it have to be in the room?
I mean,
or...
you can't smell leather from across the room, can you?
Unless you have a giant leather couch. Yeah.
Or you're in a leather factory.
Yeah.
You smell fish, you get pretty close to it.
That's true.
I mean, not too far. I mean, you could be in the other room and smell fish.
True.
Oranges, roses.
You know, the guy at the office that brings the fish and puts it in the microwave,
yeah,
that is the jerk of the day.
That guy's going to die within five years because somebody in the office is going to get him.
Can you not smell how bad that stinks?
Yes, exactly. You almost wonder if the person that throws popcorn in the microwave isn't just as bad too, though, because then everybody gets hungry.
Yeah,
that's true.
Starts smelling popcorn.
Right, yeah. You ever go to the car wash and find stuff in your car that you didn't know existed? You will not believe. Chris has a story for you next. You will not believe what this guy vacuumed up at the car wash, and that story and more coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris and Jay are here. Erin has the day off. She'll be back next week. I know you miss her. We have a lot coming up this hour. Our tech guy, Jeremy Antacuni, is going to be with us. And some of the things that he's covering, you will not believe. It's possible that you have purchased a stolen phone. Can you believe that? Verizon has given in. There's a new Tesla coming. And there's also a, it's some kind of social media thing that you can't just join unless you're in the in crowd.
Another one?
Yeah. But this one's just for, like, you know, if you don't know somebody and they don't invite you, you don't get in.
Is it like beautifulpeople.com?
Maybe it's something like that.
Those jerks.
Yeah. They certainly are jerks. They can be jerky, those jerks. You ever have a thing that you're trying to quit, like smoking, or you're trying to quit biting your fingernails, or you're trying to quit doing things in public, and that you put a rubber band around your wrist and you snap it every time?
That's old school.
Yeah?
Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore.
What do you have, Jay?
There's a group, it's called Pavlok, right? And they are designing an electric shock bracelet to help people with bad habits. The creator of the shock bracelet came up with the idea because this is actually great. He's like one of those brainiac blogger guys that wants to blog about smart things that are above this show's brain activity.
Yeah.
He hired a woman from Craigslist to sit next to him as he wrote on his blog. And every time that he would go off and check Facebook or look at eBay or something to that effect, the woman was hired to walk over and smack him in the face.
Wow. That's a good gig if you could get it.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Listen, I'm going to pay you to sit next to me, and anytime you see me waver from my work, just smack me in the head.
Yeah.
Well, he came up with this idea, and it works with an app. So it's right now, it can only be kind of like on the honor system. So if you're trying to quit smoking,
yeah,
and you're wearing the bracelet and you say, you know what? I caught myself smoking today. I deserve a shock. Poof. You go, you hit the app. The app shocks you. Here's kind of the interesting thing. Or what's the bracelet shocks you.
Yeah.
The bracelet can be worn anywhere, ankle or wrist, but it can also be used as an adhesive patch.
Oh.
So you can put it anywhere.
Uh-oh.
Anywhere.
No. Now, see, the deviants are listening again.
Now, you can break yourself of smoking really fast if you put it in certain spots. Here's the cool thing. They're doing it through a crowdfunding website called Indiegogo.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Kickstarter that we just talked about. With 29 days left in their campaign,
yep,
they have beat their $50,000 goal.
Yeah.
They've already raised $65,000.
Wow.
Yes, and that is as of today.
People can't wait to strap that on.
So well, it's coming.
It's a great idea, right?
Well, it is.
Instead of snapping yourself with a...
Except for the people that want to stick it wherever they want to stick it.
Which First of all, I smell a great radio bit here.
Yeah.
Oh, you think?
Second of all, what's going to happen to this guy, the first person that the electrical shock stops that person's heart?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you have to sign your life away or something to that effect, right? Yeah.
I want to stop hitting the water with my right hand this certain way when I swim. Shock.
Dead. Yeah. I'm sure there's a terms of agreement that nobody will read and everybody will accept and somebody will die.
Yes.
But...
And we'll tell you all about it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Then there's the guy at the car wash, Chris.
There is. He's a Florida man named Rick, S-N-Y-D-E-R.
This one's Nick.
Yeah, and he has collected a bunch of coins.
You're not pronouncing last names anymore after NG.
Huh? No, that's been my style for a while.
You guys thought I couldn't pronounce the name.
Yeah,
Snyder.
S-N-Y-D-E-R. It makes it interesting to spell it out, you know.
All right. NG was Ing, by the way, in the first hour, if you missed it. All right, Chris, go ahead. The guy with the car wash.
Now, this guy, Rick Snyder, he goes to, every morning he gets up and he walks. He says he walks about somewhere between 45 and 48 miles a day. A week, so he's putting a lot of miles on his shoes, and he goes to car washes and he goes to vending machines and he just reaches in and sees what kind of coins are left behind. Well, over time he has collected $22,000 in loose change. Whoa. Through this system that he's been using.
Wow.
Says it astounds him how wasteful people are, and now he has chosen to donate all of the money. 2,500 pounds worth of coins, by the way. So that's over. Jeez. That's over a ton.
Generous guy.
Over a ton of coins. He's donating it to Gulf Shore Animal League, which takes care of feral cats. So he's getting a bunch of cats off the streets.
Feral cats will rip you to shreds.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't try. Here, kitty, pet. Just to shreds.
Says his money is going to find homes for about 100 cats.
Well, I'm going to start doing that.
Checking
vending machines and stuff like that.
Why not?
$22,000?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Remember this song?
Phenomena.
Yes.
Sounds familiar.
Phenomena.
Of course, it's associated with the Muppets, and that's an original Muppet recording there. But that song, Phenomena, originally was written in Italy back in 1968 for the soundtrack of a softcore porn movie.
Oh.
You didn't know that, did you?
Did not. I don't think the Muppets, I don't think Jim Henson knew it either.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. That's terrible.
And here's something else for you. Scientists in Australia, and I hope this doesn't change the way you look at your kid, but it doesn't have, if he doesn't have your eyes, he's... He also has the eyes of that frat guy your wife had sex with when she was 19.
Oh, my God.
Scientists at the University of New South Wales in Australia have discovered that every one of a woman's sexual partners actually leaves a small genetic trace, and that gets passed on to her children.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Now, those genetic traces are just that. They're traces, but it just means there's a hint of every dude from her past in your kids.
I'm not having kids.
They found evidence that proved this phenomenon when they tested flies. They haven't tested it in people yet, but they believe it's true. The theory is that some molecules from each guy linger around and eventually influence how the woman's eggs develop. Here's a quote. We know that features that run in families are not just influenced by genes that are passed down from parents to their children. Various non-genetic inheritance mechanisms can influence characteristics of a child. So,
thanks for that, Phil. My future looks bright.
Marry a virgin.
Yeah, that's one way.
There's no choice, right? Because, I mean, it's your kids. You know?
That's funny.
That 16-year-old kid that your now wife had a roll in the hay with, you know, on Sadie Hawkins' night.
I don't even want to think about
it. He's an axe murderer now, or a politician, or a lawyer. Just
all,
think of
all equally the same.
Think of the hideous possibilities. All right. Hey, what do we have coming up next? Can you believe it? It's already the first half hour of this program is done. Verizon is finally coming around, and they're going to do something that you will like. And plus, is your iPhone stolen? Is your Android stolen? And you're using it daily. We're going to find out next when our tech dude, Jeremy, joins us on Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. It's new. Go see what the web munchkins have done. They're very creative. I'm Phil. Jay and Chris are here. Aaron has the day off. And we all have smartphones in our pockets, on our desk, in our purse. But where did it come from? And what are you uploading to Google, Jay?
I personally am not uploading anything, thank you very much. But a bunch of celebrities, if you remember, uploaded their nudie photos. Well, I guess they didn't. They took the nudie photos, and then the cloud kind of took them.
Yeah, automatic.
Yeah, and then a bunch of jerks hacked their phone and then posted their nudie photos all over the internet.
Yeah.
It was a fun time in America.
It's what makes the world go round.
It was an excellent morning.
So what about those celebs? They're still upset about this? They like the publicity?
They have banded together, and they're suing Google for $100 million. Basically, they say that the Google brainiacs out there say they should have known. Yeah. Hey, these are not photos to be released. They should have known that they were personal. They should have known that they were stolen. And now you have to pay us $100 million because you let it go.
As superficial as those celebrities sound in doing this lawsuit, perhaps some good will come out of it. And there will be new established rules about how things are stored on the cloud.
Exactly.
I wonder what our tech guy, Jeremy Antoconi, thinks about all this. Hey, Jeremy's here now. Wow.
What's up, gang? You know, I think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, if you're going to take nude pictures of yourself, you know, you can't be upset if they get out there, because that's just absurd. You know, you've got these nude.
Yeah. I think the judge is probably going to agree with you. You got to take personal responsibility with this stuff, right?
Yeah, that's going to be the big
rule's
issue.
Not actively doing anything to promote this. You know, those pictures get out there. People that, you know, are trading those photos post them on websites. And Google's simply indexing the web. They're just taking a, you know, kind of snapshot of the web as they go along. So I can't imagine that Google's going to have any liability in this.
Yeah, I think the judge is going to throttle those celebrities. Well, speaking of throttle, you have the Verizon Internet story. And we've been talking about speeds getting throttled for who knows why. You understand this thing. But explain to us what is new.
Well, back in July, Verizon made an announcement that they were going to start slowing down the internet connections of their, you know, highest usage subscribers. And of course, as you can imagine, this was met with some outcry saying that's ridiculous. A lot of these folks have unlimited data plans that are grandfathered or not even offered anymore. So when Verizon said they were going to start slowing down the internet of these users during peak times, people were pretty upset. Of course, we've been talking a lot about net neutrality and the consequences of what happens if the FCC does not enforce net neutrality. And I think that this was kind of perfect timing because it alerted the FCC that Verizon was considering doing this, and they started asking some tough questions. So Verizon has actually backed down from this and is not going to be throttling those connections.
Oh, good. All right. So I can expect my speeds to get back going again, because I don't know if you're like me. I've got all kinds of stuff flowing, streaming out of my computer all day and off of my phone all day long. But you have a story, Jeremy, that makes me look twice at my phone and wonder, did I get it straight from the factory?
Well, you know, the stolen phones are a pretty common occurrence. Actually, in California, about a third of all robberies involve a mobile device. If you look at certain areas, Oakland, for example, 75% of all of the burglaries are relating to mobile phones. So it's a huge problem. Huge
that's
problem.
The home of Raider Nation, that's why. But anyways, keep going.
Well, as you guys know, Apple introduce a feature last year in iOS 7 that allowed you to essentially disable. It's called Activation Lock, which if your phone is stolen, you can send a signal to it. It basically prevents it from being used. And since they did that, there's been a huge reduction in mobile phone theft. Well, problem is hackers figured out a way around this. They figured out if they were able to tell the phone to talk to one of their servers instead of Apple's servers, they could reactivate it and then it would be like it wasn't stolen in the first place. But Apple has, of course, figured this out and has decided that they're going to proactively address it. And now they've got a tool that allows you to type in the serial number of a phone and it'll tell you whether or not that phone has been locked down by a previous owner. So if you're looking at buying a device on Craigslist or eBay, you can run that serial number through this online tool and find out if it's a stolen device so you don't get your hands on something.
All right, but if you buy one in a box, it still has a seal on it, and you got it at the Verizon store or at the Apple store or the Microsoft store or the Costco, wherever, you don't have to worry about it, right?
No, typically the ones that are coming out of the boxes are legitimate and you don't have any problems, although you do want to make sure that the ones that you are, when you're buying a product, that it does feel right. I actually had a personal experience. I purchased an Apple AirPort, which is their wireless base station for your house.
Oh, yeah.
I got it at Staples, and when I bought it and when I picked it up and take it home from the store, there was something about the exterior wrapping of the plastic that felt a little off to me. You know how Apple uses that really kind of thin and very soft feeling plastic,
sure.
Whereas like a gift basket has that kind of thicker, harder, sharper, cranklier plastic.
Yeah.
Well, this had that different kind of plastic. I got home, I opened it up, and instead of finding an Apple AirPort inside, there was two bags of rice and a large can of pork and beans.
That's fantastic.
And what did the customer service counter person at Staples say when you brought that back to them?
Well, at first they didn't believe me, and they thought, this guy's trying to pull a fast one on us. Yeah. I was pissed because I had just, I had a work commitment that I had to do, and my router died, so I had to go get this thing last minute. I ended up going back to the store, brought it back to them, and demanded to open up another one while we were there. And thankfully, we opened up that second one, and it too had pork and beans.
Wow,
in it.
So, you are so lucky.
No.
So essentially, they apologized and then actually ended up giving me a fairly decent credit. I got it for, I think, $40 or $50. I almost got it for free. So it was in the end, it was a good experience and a good story to
tell. Did this make the newspapers?
It didn't. I actually didn't make a huge deal about it when it happened. I did tweet something about it a long time ago, but didn't go too far.
I thought we had a scoop. Oh, well. You know what I love, and I cannot afford one yet, but it is on my list of things to be able to afford someday, and that's a nice Tesla, one of those fancy electric cars. And
they are.
Do you have one?
I don't, but I have said numerous times that will be my next car, and I think that that the announcement they're about to make is probably going to make that a true statement for a lot of people. Yeah, as you probably know, they came out with their original Roadster. It was a really expensive, really fast, high-end two-seater.
Yeah.
Then they followed that up with the Model S, which is a sedan. Gorgeous car, one of the best cars I think that's on the road.
Still
today.
A lot of money though. It's like 70 to 90 grand.
Yeah,
they're
definitely not cheap.
Yeah.
They are now this year, I think, or excuse me, early 2015, they're going to be coming out with their SUV variant. But I think the one that everybody is waiting for and certainly is cool. Have the largest impact on the car market as a whole is their run of the mill everyday consumer affordable version.
Ooh.
And they are supposedly targeting about a $35,000 price range. So
$35,000.
Not your entry level car range, but certainly in the range of a lot of people.
Come
that
on,
you,
I mean
cars.
A Toyota Corolla could run $35,000 fully equipped.
That's
right?
True.
So yeah, I mean it's definitely an appealing price point. It's going to apparently look pretty similar to the Model S. It's going to be about 20% shorter, so it's a little bit smaller, not as large of battery capacity and so forth.
Yeah.
But because of that supercharger network they have, that's becoming somewhat of a non-issue, so that you can drive between different cities and be able to charge along the way.
Yeah.
But if they're able to come out with a car for $35,000-$40,000, I think that they really are going to disrupt the car industry even more than they already have.
Yeah, because now you could probably talk about a $299 a month lease, and most people I think could do that, especially when you're saving the gas and you probably get a nice rebate from the government for
buying one. Federal tax credit and so forth. So
drive the Diamond Lane too.
That's right. Tesla's got an event next Thursday, October 9th, and they're going to be unveiling something new. So we're looking forward to see what exactly it is that they're going to be sharing with the world next Thursday.
I'm waiting for somebody with a British accent to invite me to a new social media party playhouse, and I am waiting for them to say, hello.
Well, you know, you might get that invitation. There's a new social network that is being billed as the Facebook killer. This is something called Ello. It's E-L-L-O. And they are trying to capitalize on some of the privacy concerns that have plagued Facebook by opening up the access to your account to advertisers and third parties. They're claiming that there are no advertising and there won't be advertising on this social network. It's somewhat of a slimmed down version. So there's not a whole lot that you're able to do, and quite frankly, there's not a whole lot of your friends that are going to be on there right now because it is just in its infancy. So I'm not particularly a huge Facebook user myself, so I wasn't terribly excited about this, but there are a lot of people that are somewhat disenfranchised by Facebook and are looking for alternatives.
How about that? We'll see what happens, and we'll hear about it when it does from you, Jeremy. We thank you once again for joining us.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Next week for sure. That's our tech dude. Hey, here's something I haven't thought about much. Sustainable seafood. Maybe I should think about it because, look, if there's no fish to eat or not enough, not only is it going to cost more, but the ecosystem will go to hell in a fishnet. Up next, we will raise Jay's awareness and everybody else's awareness about sustainable seafood right here next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Oh, we love the seafood. We love everything about it. There's a handful of people out there that just won't eat fish, and perhaps they're helping the situation. I'm Phil. Chris and Jay are here. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for listening. Think about all the seafood restaurants out there, plus all the stores, the fresh fish, the canned fish, frozen. We consume a lot of fish, no doubt about it. But are we depleting the supply? And if so, what should or what can we do about it? Joining us live here in our studio is the director of the Cabrillo Marine Aquarium, Mike Schad. Mike, first of all, is it Cabrillo or is it Cabrillo?
You know, I've been trying to say Cabrillo, Phil, because Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo,
Cabrillo
was Portuguese. And by the way, all of we're right here in San Pedro.
Yeah.
So to be consistent, I think Cabrillo is probably a better
way
to say.
Now, why isn't it San Pedro?
Well, that's because you ask anybody that lives in Pedro, and they won't answer to Pedro, San Pedro.
That's right. And I've worked with news people all along, and they insist on saying San Pedro, and they insist on saying Cabrillo.
You know where they're from by how they pronounce our town.
They're not from around here, are they?
No.
All right. So now explain this concept to us, Mike. It is sustainable seafood. Well, now, what exactly does that mean? Is it we want to take out as much or less than what can be replaced?
Well, you know what it really amounts to is that NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they're in charge of making sure that our fisheries are sustainable. And what that means is what we take today doesn't deplete what we want to take in the future.
Oh.
So the way that we explain it to people is by making good choices, we're protecting the future. And I think most people want to do that.
Making good choices. You sound like my elementary school teacher, you know. Make good choices. Well, maybe not my teacher, but the teachers of today, right? And that's the whole thing. So how bad is the problem anyway? Is there a problem?
Well, the NOAA will also tell you that 85% of the fisheries around the world are either fished to capacity, which is fine, by the way. That means it's sustainable, or overfished. And in fact, they even drill down a little bit more and find out that 35% of the fisheries that we eat from are actually overfished.
Now, are we talking just about the swimming variety of fish or the ones that walk around and hide under rocks?
I'm glad you brought that up because it's we're talking about those with fins and without fins. We're talking about crabs and shrimp and all the things we like to eat.
Yeah.
I'll ask you, what do you think the most popular seafood is in this country that we eat?
I'm going to say shrimp.
Yeah. Shrimp is right by a long shot.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look at that, right off the bat.
But well, where's it all coming from? See, my daughter has a thing. She won't eat shrimp. It's something to do with Vietnam, and I don't know what and like slave labor and that sort of thing as it applies to shrimp.
What?
I have no idea.
Does she wear Nikes?
This is her thing.
Does she shop at, you know, Ross or Walmart or anything?
I mean, come on. It's hard as a consumer these days to be consistent and follow a straight line, isn't it? But still, she raises this thing, and I think, okay, now every time I bite into a shrimp, am I biting the back of some poor kid who's you know, maybe thrown off a ship in the middle of the ocean somewhere. I don't know if any of that stuff's true. I haven't really followed up on it. But just the same, shrimp, by far, the number one seafood in America.
And yet something for us to know, and certainly there's a lot of issues, by the way, when you start talking about international politics and things like that. But the bottom line is that in some countries, they don't have the environmental laws that we have here. And so they would take a mangrove, which any biologist would tell you is one of the most diverse places on the coast, and it really supports a healthy environment. And if you don't have it there, then you're going to have water going directly out and it's not being kept for a little while before it goes out into the ocean and detoxified. So what they're doing with these shrimp farms in some other countries, not in this country, is that they're building them and taking away the mangrove and taking away that healthy part of the environment. And that's one of the reasons that people that eat shrimp have been told to make other choices. And the good news is that in this country, many of the people that are growing shrimp in both aquaculture situations and collecting them are following rules that are much more sustainable.
So we have shrimp farms here in America.
We do.
And are they increasing in numbers?
No, they're not. Part of it is that if you have environmental controls, obviously it's going to be a lot more expensive to do that. And so it's harder for businesses to get up and going when they have those kind of regulations, which is why many of these businesses are in other countries.
So we can tell if it's an American cultured or grown shrimp, and we buy a pound of that at the store, it's going to be $50 a pound as opposed to the stuff that's coming from Vietnam where it's $6.99 a pound.
It's probably going to be more expensive. I don't know the exact price points, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, I say Vietnam. I'm just being corrected by one of my helpers. Thailand.
Thailand
Thai
is
slave ships.
Yeah.
Is what they're talking about. All right. So, what is a recommendation here then? Is it cool it with the fish eating?
You know, it could be really complicated with all these things, but we have help. One of the things we have is at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which I think most people have heard about.
I've been there. It's beautiful.
One of the best aquariums in the world. I've been to aquariums all over the world. They have a very strong environmental stance and conservation stance. And what they have done is they have set aside and gotten grants with scientists that do the research. You know, they do the research. And they can tell us to the best of their ability what would be a good choice. And it's called Seafood Watch. It's an app somebody can put on their phone. I brought some of the little cards that you can fit in your wallet or your purse. I carry a couple of them around in my wallet. And that way you can refer to it, and it has what would be a best choice, a good alternative, and something that they recommend to avoid.
All right, so best choices, Arctic char, striped bass, U.S., hooked and lined or farmed here in the U.S., catfish, U.S. Most of this is U.S. In other words, the best choices are the things that are farmed right here.
Very tasty stuff, too. Char and striped bass.
What do we have to avoid
delicious
over there,
fish.
Phil? What are they telling me not to eat anymore?
Avoid cod from Japan and Russia, crab, imported canned crab, red king crab from Russia. A lot of Russia on here.
Yeah, but a lot of the good stuff, too.
Yeah, perhaps.
Orange Ruffy, if you're an Orange Ruffy fan, that's something that is recommended.
Well, that sucks.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
But actually, the Orange Ruffy is kind of taking itself out because in order to get those animals, they're big rockfish, and they don't reproduce until they're about 50 years old. So since the fishery's been going for a while, they're taking all the big ones out, and the young ones are not getting big enough to reproduce. Not to mention the other reason they're on that list is that in order to get them, they have very deep trawling nets that go down and it ruins the bottom and all the other environment there.
We're speaking with Mike Schott. He's from the Cabrillo Marine Museum. We're going to it used to be called the museum, but it's the aquarium now. And you have an event coming up here in the L.A. Harbor a week from Sunday, right?
We do. It's called the Sustainable Seafood Expo. It's the first one for us. And we believe the first one in the Los Angeles, Southern California area. And what we're doing is we're inviting the public to come down for a reasonable price to come in and sample some sustainable seafood.
Now, this is a week from Sunday. It's for a specific number of hours. It starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
right.
Correct?
Goes till 5.
And what can people see and do when they get there?
When they get there, they're going to be able to see chefs, some of them local chefs, like Dustin Tranny is going to be there from Tranny's right here in town.
Uh-huh.
We're also going to have the chef, Chef Ibarra, I believe, from the Terranea. We're also going to have Sam Choi as a celebrity chef. Many people know those.
Sure.
Know him as an Iron Chef and a lot of really great stuff.
All right. They're all going to use sustainable food off of this list here, the stuff that they're not going to use any of the things to avoid. They'll use
the best
choices.
Right.
And Mike, when you say sample, are we talking about a person who could go there and get their fill, or you're just going to be able to taste around a little bit?
You're going to be able – we want to have everybody taste around, but I'll bet somebody could – fill themselves up pretty good, too.
All right. We have a link.
Challenge accepted.
Yep. We have a link to your event. It's on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And I don't know what it costs to get in, but if you belong to a society or something, do you get some kind of a discount?
At the Cabrillo Marine Aquarium, we have a Friends of Cabrillo Marine Aquarium. And as a member, you get half off for the sustainable seafood and most of our programs that cost. However, I want you to know that most of the Cabrillo Marine Aquarium is available free.
Okay.
We have a recommended donation at our aquarium, and we've been around since 1935, and it's all about the kids.
Again, this is Sunday, October 12th from 1 to 5. It's at Crafted?
Crafted.
That's right up the street from our studio here at the Port of Los Angeles. But again, more information is on the links page of philhewlettandfriends.com. Mike Schott, thank you very much.
Happy to have you have me here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, how about that? Right, got to have a nice plate of seafood now that we talked about that.
I'm going to go have a bunch of shrimp.
Time for sushi.
Shrimp?
No, is that on the avoid list?
Yeah.
All right, can't do it.
Avoid it. What's this grown here?
Pizza it is.
Yes.
You can have anchovies.
American grown anchovies and cheese and pepperoni. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. We have a comment page on our website as well. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.